arms crossed on his chest, still no blazer though he'd buttoned his shirt, smiling indulgently down at me. I knew my mascara was everywhere, damn. "Get me a tissue, Sniff," I ordered. He did not get me a tissue. He pushed up to his feet. "Give us an explanation, Charlene." Oh, boy. I pushed up to my feet, and Rome came up with me. "You do not give the orders in this house," I said to Sniff. "You didn't know we'd come back," Rome accused me. "What are you doing back?" I rapped out, though I had to admit I was curious. "You asked us 7,000 times if we'd be gone on Friday and how long we'd be out, and you were in your room every night gabbing on the phone, and you had a full rock chick powwow in your friggin' bedroom, so it was hard to miss you were planning a little something-something," Rome explained. "And anyway, you didn't even try to hide those roses," Sniff put in. "Hell. Not real good with the covert, are you, baby?" Moses teased. I shot him big eyes. He shot me a big smile. "We'll talk to you in a minute," Rome bit off. "Rome!" I snapped. He shot me a scowl. I turned to Sniff. "So you knew I had something planned with a gentleman friend, and you came home and pounded on my bedroom door?" "We gotta look out for you," Rome answered for Sniff. "Yeah, that's like our job," Sniff added. Okay, now I couldn't be pissed at them. Shit. "And we looked out for you and found out you got yourself tangled up with some player," Rome finished. "He's not a player, Rome," I said quietly. "Yeah, he's not? Why's he all cool with you making sure we're gone before he'll come get you for a date? Huh? Why won't he walk up and knock on the door like a man and meet your sons like..." Rome leaned into me. "A man." "All good questions." "Moses has daughters, and we were going to give it some time, and when..." I slid my eyes to Moses before I looked back at Rome. "We were confident in what was building between us. We were going to bring all of you into it." Rome shut his mouth. Apparently that was a good answer. Thank the Lord. "You got daughters?" Sniff asked Moses. Shit. Rome reached behind me and smacked Sniff up the backside of his head. "Dude," he warned low. "What?" Sniff asked. "That's cool. Charlene's got two boys. This works with this guy. She might get some girls. That's pretty awesome." "Lord God, I love that kid." "How about we try this again?" Moses decided to officially enter the conversation. He walked forward with his hand up. "I'm Moses Richardson, and I really, really like your mama." He aimed his hand at Rome first. Rome looked at it a beat before he took it and shook it. When they let go, he offered it to Sniff. Sniff took it and shook it, and they let go. Moses then took my hand and led me one step toward him. Both boys closed in at my back. "Yep, loved those kids. Now, sweetheart, I'm gonna go and let you be with your boys tonight," he said, giving my hand a squeeze. "Moses," I started.
"You don't have to do that,"
Sniff said quickly.
"Yeah, we maybe, didn't plate us right," Rome put in. "And Charlene's got a pretty dress on," Sniff continued. "So yeah, maybe we should just head back out and,
Rome let that trail. Moses kept hold of my hand but looked between the boys.
"I think tonight was a big night for all of you."
He looked down at me.
"Rain check, tomorrow night."
"No, really, you guys should go out,"
Sniff said, again quickly, but it was a different kind of quickly. I turned suspicious eyes to Sniff.
"What's going on?"
He shook his head.
"Nothing, we just... Rome and me just wanted to talk to you tomorrow night."
"About what?" I asked.
"Tomorrow night," Rome put in firmly. "Go out with the Mr. Richardson here and we'll get into it then."
My heart squeezed, but my eyes hit the ceiling.
"Oh, Lord."
I looked between them.
"Which of you got who pregnant?"
"Charlene,"
Sniff bit off.
Neither, Charlene Jesus,
Rome huffed out. Then what do you need to talk to me about tomorrow night? I asked.
Baby, think maybe now is the time I should.
Moses started, giving my hand another squeeze.
I'm going to work for Lee after I graduate.
Rome cut him off to declare.
Okay. All right.
When they were interns, this was fine. They worked computer stuff and watched monitors in the relative safety of the office. I could handle the idea of them becoming members of a team when it was all future, all fantasy. But then it wasn't real. It wasn't Rome having his own bulletproof vest in the locker room. I felt the vapors coming on.
And I'm going into the army, Sniff announced.
Say what? The army? The United States Army that fought wars?
It was official. I had the vapors, for certain.
Chapter 10. Future was bright. Charlene.
Babe.
That was Moses.
Nope.
I snapped, listening to my phone ring in my ears as I paced my living room.
Charlene.
That was Sniff.
Uh-uh.
I bet out, still listening.
Come on, Charlene.
That was Rome. I didn't have to reply to him. Lee picked up.
Hey, Charlene, everything good?
So you had some conversations with my boys about their futures, huh?
Oh, shit,
Lee muttered.
Hell yeah, oh shit. You think to talk to me about that?
I asked heatedly. When he spoke again, he sounded mildly confused.
They're already recruits. I thought you were on board with that.
My voice was pitched so high it was a wonder all my crystal didn't shatter when I demanded,
You told Sniff to go into the army?
Charlene.
The enemy shoots at you when you're in the army, Lee,
I educated him.
I know, Charlene, I was in the army, remember?
Lee returned. I ignored that.
Or they blow you up with landmines and shit. Have you talked with Sniff about this?
Lee asked.
Yeah, he said I'm going into the army. Then after I fought off an attack of the vapors, he shared, Lee and the guys think it's a good idea. So that was when I got my phone and called to lay you out.
You want something that's his,
Lee said low. And that low caught my attention. Lee kept at me.
He's been in Rome's shadow for years. He needs out from that. He needs to find out who he is without his brother always at his side. The right groundwork has been laid for him to be the man he wants to be. But he's gotta walk that path alone now, so in the end, who he becomes, it's his.
God damn, I hated it when these men made sense.
And Rome, I clipped out. He's 18, Lee. And you're gonna take him on?
He knows he's had 6 months in the office working with Brody. Working with Jack, working with Monty, so he can learn how intel that's gathered is formed into tactics and strategy. Working with you to understand the business side of things.
And that puts him at just over 18 and a half, and then you think he's all good?
I asked.
No,
Lee retorted.
After that 6 months, he's got 3 months shadowing each man. Hector, Vance, Mace, Luke, and finally me. He'll learn by seeing, then doing. And he won't be involved in anything that he's not ready for.
That's for him, but that's also for the protection of the team.
After that, he's got a year where he gets assignments I'd give Bobby and Matt. Assignments where he doesn't go out without a partner, until I'm sure I can step that up and he can go out alone. That's nearly 2 years in training, and a year of what's essentially probation, before I'll even consider him taking shit on as a full-fledged member of the team.
Huh.
Well,
shit.
And, just so this is all out there, if Sniff gets out of the armed forces and he wants a spot on my team, he knows that's guaranteed, Lee continued. The army will teach him most of what he'll need to know and will fill in any gaps. I have no questions in my mind he'll serve his country and come to me the man I'll need him to be. And when that happens, Charlene, I'll look forward to having him on my crew.
Huh. Well, shit. Are you done laying me out now? Lee asked impatiently.
You should have told me, I declared.
It's the men we both want them to be, that they wanted to do it, and obviously I agreed, he shot back.
Huh. Fuck, whatever.
Rome is an exceptionally gifted writer, I shared.
Good. I'll look forward to reading his mission reports, Lee returned. Now are we done?
You're a pain in my ass, Liam Nightingale, I told him.
Glad that feeling is mutual. Now we're done, he muttered,
and then he hung up on me.
Slowly, I took the phone from my ear and narrowed my eyes at it.
Baby, Moses whispered.
I raised narrowed eyes to him.
He did not, as many did, and should, rear back. He grinned at me.
Have I failed to tell you I was in the army? He asked.
He did, indeed, fail to tell me that.
You were in the army? Sniff asked.
Moses turned to him.
Yeah. It's a good choice, son.
Lord. The vapors are coming back, I declared.
Three sets of male eyes turned to me. All three were amused, though two were also exasperated. The brain behind one of those sets made a decision.
You're on duty,
Rome announced, his attention to Moses while tagging the sleeve of Sniff's shirt and pulling him toward the front door.
Her vapors are serious. Good luck, he finished.
You're gonna need it,
Sniff muttered as he followed Rome. Moses just shook his head, smiling and watching them go. I moved to the wide hall that led by the kitchen to the front door.
Where you boys going? I called.
Out,
Rome answered, but he wasn't done. He stopped at the door and turned my way.
And for the record, we're not at the place in this situation where we're down with some dude spending the night with our mom.
Totally not down, Sniff agreed.
I felt Moses come to stand behind me as I studied the ceiling. But one could say, that one being me, I absolutely loved the words "our mom" coming out of my boy's mouth. The front door opened and I looked there.
Be good, do right, make good decisions, and come home safe to your mother.
The last I shouted because the door was closing.
Those boys,
I mumbled irritably after the door shut. I barely got that out before I was turned into Moses' body with his arms around me. I put my hands on his biceps, as best I could with one, seeing as I still had my phone, and looked up at his face. His eyes were roving over mine.
I was in the room when both of my daughters were born,
he shared, strangely.
Yeah?
I asked. His gaze finally stopped on mine.
So that was the third most beautiful thing I witnessed in my life.
Oh no, I was going to start crying again. I swatted his arm and warned, you're gonna make me cry.
Have at it. All your mascara's gone already. There's no reason to hold back anymore.
Oh no, I put my hands over my face, conking my own damn self with my phone. Lord, I was a mess. He shoved my face in his chest.
Are you even partially clued in to how much those boys love you?
He whispered into the top of my fro. I was. I absolutely was. As an answer, I took my hands from my face, wrapped my arms around him, and pressed my cheek to his chest. Boy, it felt so good being in his arms. I could just hug this man for eternity.
Yeah, I whispered back.
So if anyone ever told me I was gonna get caught by my woman's two teenage boys after making love to her for the first time, necessitating me scrambling to get my clothes on and help her with hers, I'd take that blow if they told me I got to witness what I just saw.
I tipped my head back, mascara traces all over my cheeks and all.
Sorry they got in your face, I said.
I'm not, he replied.
I smiled at him. Moses smiled back and gave me a squeeze.
You hungry?
He asked. I was feeling a mite peckish. I nodded. He smiled again.
You wanna fix your face? Was he seriously asking that question? I nodded again.
Go fix your face, baby,
he urged quietly, dipping his head and touching his mouth to mine.
I'll wait.
I touched my mouth to his right back, then I scooted out of his arms to my room to fix my face. When I got there, my bathroom seemed different, like it was shiny and new. I had a feeling I'd have to get used to that kind of strangeness all around me. Though I wouldn't know, I'd never experienced it. But my guess was that was how things seemed when your future was bright. Just FYI, I would find my guess was right. Epilogue. She made me believe. Moses. Sometime later.
Hey.
Moses looked to the man walking through the side door that led into the vestibule.
Hey, son, he replied.
Roman started toward Moses. The tux looked good on him. Roman shifted his trajectory, moved to the closed door to the sanctuary, and looked through the windows.
It's my understanding you and Julian are supposed to be walking out to stand at that altar right about now. Meet me there,
Moses observed. Roman turned his head Moses's way and shared.
Sent a message to her. She knows I need some time.
Moses drew breath in through his nose. It was then Roman walked to him, asking,
She been crying a lot? Daisy's had to put her false eyelashes back on 3 times.
A ghost of a smile formed on his lips.
Say what you gotta say, son. There's important shit that's gotta get done today,
Moses prompted. Roman focused on him in a way that Moses held his breath.
Nothing will ever harm her.
His tone was utterly inflexible. Moses' throat closed.
And I will love and protect her and the children I'll make with your daughter until the day I die,
Roman continued.
Rome?
Moses forced out.
She means everything to me, Roman told him. You haven't hidden that,
Moses replied. And praise be to the Lord he had not from the beginning. Roman examined Moses' face before he nodded and moved back to the doors to the vestibule. He looked through the window.
Thank you for loving her the way you do,
he said quietly. He was looking at his mama sitting in the front pew.
It hasn't been hard,
Moses replied in the same tone. And that was the damned truth. Roman turned to him.
She made me believe in love,
he shared. Moses nodded.
And she taught me how to do it,
Roman went on. Moses knew full well the way Shirlene loved. He'd now had years of learning how deep that woman could love.
Then my baby girl is gonna get what she deserves.
Yes, she is. That was a vow. Moses moved to him and lifted his hand to rest it on that broad shoulder.
Son, go, he whispered. Go on. Marry my daughter.
Roman lifted his hand and took hold of the side of Moses' neck. After a firm squeeze, he dropped it, and Moses' hand fell when Roman stepped away. Moses watched as Roman walked back to the door that led to the side hall. He moved through it, the door closed. Moses turned his attention from there to the window Roman had been looking through. The mother of the groom was sitting in her pew at her boy's side, her head turned, leaned over the armrest at the end of the pew, her eyes aimed through the window at her husband. They'd had a number of discussions about where they were going to sit. Shirlene Richardson was not to be deterred from taking her boy's side. Since her mother was sitting on her side, his daughter was entirely down with her dad sitting beside her fiancé's mama.
You'll get to see my face from there, Daddy, not my back, she told him.
That had decided it. He watched his wife tip her head to the side. She had some subtle glitter in that gorgeous fro. She looked beautiful. He smiled at her. Her pretty face got soft before she forced herself to toughen up so she wouldn't lose it again, and she smiled back.
He watched her turn to face forward. Only then did he step away to wait for his daughter to come to him. It was his girl's wedding day, and Moses Richardson was not jittery. He was not worried. He had no reservations. He knew from the beginning that Roman Jackson would do anything to win his girl, then hold her safe. He'd even proved it, without a doubt. So Moses had not a single reservation. He loved that man like a son, and he knew Roman would make his girl happy. Though, through the ride that had brought them all right there, Moses could have done without the kidnappings.
This has been an Audible Studios production of Rock Chick Reborn. Written by Kristen Ashley, performed by Nicole Small. Executive producers Rena Ayer and Mike Jarzik. Producer Neil Basic. Copyright 2018 by Kristen Ashley. Sound recording copyright 2018 by Audible Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.